to a podcast where we're to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run with Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm DevQ, and I do stuff occasionally.
Never, both in the, oh, the temperature's annoying, the mood's annoying, and before we started recording, we were talking about getting Charlie horses, which anyone who's ever gotten one will know, it's very unpleasant.
Just soul-destroyingly painful.
Yeah. How have the last few weeks been for you?
Be nice. I got to kidnap my partner for 2.5 weeks, and it was very pleasant, minus the 103-degree heat that prevented us from doing a lot of fun activities outside.
Yeah, I wouldn't be going outside in that heat.
Yeah, we died. Also, fun fact, if you take SSRIs, you take super effective damage from the sun.
That sounds very pleasant.
It's like, why do I feel more wretched and dying than usual? Oh, okay.
I hear you saying, Devis, is we're going to see you with a hat.
You know what? I saw a Tumblr post where someone just decided to start wearing a wizard hat. And she's like, I want a fucking wizard hat.
Okay, so we start off with Liberator. So, episode 4, part 1. I've seen a few people mention this, and I think I agree now that we're at chapter/episode 4. Did the recaps feel a bit long?
They feel very long, especially because with the formatting, you could just click the back button to see what the fuck happened.
What was funny was when I was reading it, I saw the recap, I went, man, what kind of recap are we going to need for the novel whenever it pops up again?
Oh, no.
Because we got our first chunk of the novel almost 2 months ago.
Damn, it's been that long?
Yeah. Which means, theoretically, we're a month away, if that initial schedule stuff holds up, which might not. So, this chapter, the art was very good and very dynamic. Like, really solid art this time.
It was very enjoyable.
The character...
She is a mess.
Yeah, she's... Arisa is getting dragged along pretty easily, though, I will say.
Bowing down the peer pressure.
And then... So, the first chunk of the chapter was good, solid character stuff and character talking. And then it falls into, let's learn to play the card game.
This one was a little better paced than previous ones.
It was. I'm just not interested in learning to play the card game. So for me, it's like, of course. And then random commentary from Shoto and Terramon, who are just like, when you scroll through something and you have the person narrating the thing for people, it's like, she's doing that. She has a plan. And I'm sitting here like, I have no idea, but okay.
Me, I'm just imagining the Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged cast voicing over this entire thing.
I do see a lot of people starting to hit the point of going, it feels a little weird that, like, the deck is primarily based around the partner Digimon, but also it's, like, weird shadow, they don't talk versions of them. I'm not 100% sure I agree. I think it's weird that, like, an Arisa card pops up, and I don't think an Arisa card had popped up before, and there's no reaction from Arisa.
I didn't think much of it, because it was, like, mentioned previously that all the players get a card of themselves in their deck.
Okay, I missed or forgot that, then.
Yeah, they all get one, and eventually they get them, like, the more...
Okay, fair enough then. Just slipped my mind entirely.
They upgrade it.
Okay, slipped my mind entirely then. That also will explain away if there's any changes to them from future sets.
Yep. They built that in.
And then the newest column is the Central District of Jewel, which that's the starting area, if I remember correctly.
Where they were all going shopping.
Yeah. So we got the starting thing of that. We got some art. We got to see the concept art for the computer egg thing, which weirdly, I never know what to think when they're like, here's concept art for this thing that has definitely existed in the franchise 10 different ways, and it's just like circle with digital pattern.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't have the art there, you could go, this is the new X antibody.
Yeah, honestly, that's what first popped into my mind, because, like, I just scrolled through really quick looking at the artwork first, like, oh, is this the X antibody? And it's like, oh, no.
It's just it's the floaty computer spinny dervish.
Yep, it's doing stuff.
Although, if at the very end, if they go, and this is Yggdrasil, would you be shocked?
No.
In fact, I'm pretty sure...
Oh, I prefer, like, some free stuff in there.
I'm pretty sure Yggdrasil has looked like this before. And then moving on from Liberator, Tom Weiner passed away. Probably best known to Digimon fans as the voice for Devimon.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But a decent number of other characters. He was the Roars for Chimeramon. He did Devimon for Marine Devimon. And he was also the narrator for Season 2.
He was pretty nice and liked to chat with people at conventions.
A lot. Like, everyone has a story of talking to him, except Chris McFeely. Although Chris McFeely posted why he did not have a story. Back when he did his site and he would email actors and crew to interview, he wasn't aware of aliases being used at the time. So he just emailed him going, and you used a different name for the show. Don't know what you're talking about. And that was the only response he got. Because that was before Chris McFeely knew, like, aliases and stuff, like, they're not going to say that if that was them or not. They're just going to say no and then not respond because they think someone's trying to trick them into admitting it's them. Or it isn't them in some cases. There's a few Digimon actors who have said to have been in shows that's like, if you go and listen, that's actually not them.
So, like, yeah. It's my doppelganger.
Yes. Outside of Digimon, he was dozens of characters on Power Rangers. I tried counting and I said, oh, I'm not dealing with this. And lots of other, like, the amount of stuff he's been in is way too long. Also doing directing, scripting, just tons of stuff for decades.
Yeah, the thing I remember most was Quent in Wolf's Rain.
That one came up a lot. A lot of people also mentioned... what was that show that I guess aired in a lot of places? Willy Fogg.
I have never even heard of.
I guess that aired on, like, the BBC Kids Saturday morning thing. So, like, a lot of people our age in the UK, like, really remember that. And I guess he had a lot to do with that one. So it appears he was popular on the UK. He was brought into the UK circuit quite a bit because of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then on top of that, we have anniversary. So first up, Cross Wars is 14. That does not feel right. Dev, I can't even recall. Did we know each other when Cross Wars is? I think we were acquaintances at the time.
We knew each other.
Okay. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, that's 14 years ago. I don't actually recall.
Yeah, I think it's longer than that. Oh, wait,
you're right, because when Cross Wars was airing, that's when I did a site update, and you were looking at it when it was in lockdown mode to see if everything was working.
Yes.
Yes. So, it's been nice seeing Cross Wars stuff lately. The last few years has been very good to it.
Yes, I'm very hyped for the upcoming card set with the...
Lots of art, especially of probably ones that we don't have a lot of art of, frankly. Because that manga had a lot.
Yeah, new fun artwork to rip. Yeah, I remember going through and, like, carefully erasing all the backgrounds just to have, like, some vaguely legible artwork of each of the Digimon characters on it.
Now we're going to have crazy art of them. Then, 24th anniversary of Hurricane Touchdown.
Fuck, I'm old.
Hey, I'm so old that 24 years ago I was like, I could do a better home video release of this. And soon enough, that will be out, and I will be like, oh, I actually was the loudmouth saying I could do better.
And you did.
Not yet. I'll say that when it's out. And then it is also the 18th anniversary of when they did the Digimon Savers 3D ride at Pearl Land, which later was released as a 3D short.
But everyone's one was very silly.
Yes, it was. It's fun. I still find it hilarious that when they did the movies, the Blu-ray box in Japan, they did that disc where it actually had native 3D versions of this and the other short. So, like, if you had a proper 3D TV, you actually had, like, the proper view and everything. literally the only thing missing would have been like the shaking chairs. And that technology actually does exist for the home. I just don't think they did it for this.
Yeah, that'd be kind of excessive.
Oh, some movies do get it. Like, the data's on the Blu-ray, and you can buy chairs that do it. I've never sat in one of those, but yeah. And then the 23rd anniversary of the Adventurers Battle, the first Tamers movie.
I like the music from that one. It was very chill.
I like the scenery in it.
I want to go to Okinawa.
I will say, though, anytime I see that poster, I just go, that poster is so busy. They just went, we have to try to put everything in this poster.
Cram it in.
Like, even Gulfmon, they try to stuff him at the top.
Like, he was around for, like, a minute.
And then
he died.
Yeah. And then some news for the 25th anniversary trailer. It will premiere at the Alta Vision at the Shinjuku East Exit Station, August 1st, 5 p.m. That's that big screen that they always show in anime with announcements being made.
Ooh.
I looked up prices for the screen. It is not cheap. So I couldn't find like special event prices, like to do an actual thing. Would you like to know what the prices are for their normal usage, Dev?
Yes.
Okay. A 15-second ad or ad roll, which will play four times in an hour for 1 week, is 1,200,000 yen. So we don't know how long the short is, because there could be ad rolls with it. We do know how long the reserved event is, and it's 10 minutes long. So we're not going to be there, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, if they're only playing it once.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. For all we know, they'll play it again an hour later. They're just telling the premiere time, at least for now. But yeah. So we will see. If anyone's going to Shinjuku and you really want to see it, that may be the place to see it.
We have to hurry. I need to see this advertisement.
Yeah. And ironically, this may end up being one of the last big events on that screen. Because the building's being... I don't believe they're tearing it down yet, but the location's closing, which means either it's going to be redone or they'll tear it down and build something large. Because that's an area with a lot of, like, tall setups, and it's kind of little and sad now. I would expect that if it is torn down and it's rebuilt, there will be a screen there for sure, almost. But yeah,
and over time, like, especially with large buildings, you know, they kind of get behind the times in, you know, cases of
yeah. And my understanding is that's why it's closing. Is it's just hit the point of, oh, it is an area that's very desirable, and it's just an older building in an area where you can have just tall stuff. So moving on from that, we have details for... This is where, like, there is no DigiFest this year, but they're doing a bunch of other stuff in lieu of it, which is why there isn't. And here's one of them. August 1st, we knew they were going to do an early version of the movie 2 and 3 screening. They've now announced some details of it, which they're calling the Odaiba Grand Gathering version. So August 1st, the screening is 7 p.m. to 8:44 p.m., but it'll be at the Cinemas Aqua City Odaiba. Starting at 6:30, there'll be stage greeting with guests, and that portion will be broadcast on YouTube, and they've already said, around the world.
Oh, nice.
So the guests are Chika Sakamoto, who Agumon, AIM, which Mimi's singer of many, many songs. The only issue I have with AIM being one of the, like, main headline guests, she's not in the movies all that much. She definitely sings during them, but Mimi is very much minimal in those films.
I feel like it might be a mix of her 25th anniversary,
she sings the end for both of them, anyways. It just feels like, oh, it's Mimi. Mimi's not in these that much. Then Shintaro Matsuai, who I don't know if he's the one who actually runs the account. He's the producer of a lot of Digimon music. I believe he is the quote-unquote Digimon music producer who runs that Twitter account, though. And then Hiromi Seki. Now, here's what's interesting. The cost to go to this is actually quite reasonable. 3,000 yen.
Yeah, so about like 25 bucks.
At the current exchange rate, that's 20 bucks, which they're trying to fix that. But yeah, oh, the exchange rate is terrible for Japan right now. If I put dollar to yen, what is it right now? 158.
Jesus.
Yes, this is that. Like literally last night, I'm like, oh, I should see if I need to import anything because they're going to do everything they can to fix this and probably overcorrect. So yeah, so tickets right now are lottery style. General tickets will order open soon-ish. They also announced that if you go to any of the double feature screenings while supplies last, they're doing bookmarks themed after film strips from the movie.
Oh, that's cute.
Which these look really nice. And they pick good shots. So we get like the War Greymon shot, the Metal Gurumon shot, the Creation of Omegamon, Daisuke crying, Vmon and Rapidmon evolving, then the end scene from movie 3. Like just.
I wonder if they're like plastic, where they're slightly transparent, or if they're just paper.
I don't know, and I did not see a material information, which they sometimes put. I would assume like paper cardstock, hopefully plastic, though.
So that would have been really, really cool.
I'm hoping for plastic for one key reason. If you look at the image, they actually have it set so the spruce holes are clear in the promotional images.
Yeah, it says I wasn't quite sure.
I'm hoping that that wasn't just like a Photoshop oddity. Because obviously these are just renders, but we will see. And then moving on to the exhibition, ticketing opened for the Osaka venue, which is the October 5th through the 20th. It's actually a good spread for two locations. We don't know if they're going to do more. I would hope so, but probably not. And then they showed off the... They showed off the gifts for the Digimon Partners preview events, which they're themed after, like, entry passes.
Very cute.
And they also did a DICE high-resolution promotional poster, which has started to show up places. I did not realize that... I keep forgetting the tickets for this are actually rather cheap. It's cheaper than the movie ticket.
You want everyone to be able to zip through.
Basically, yeah.
It's not like you're spending several hours there.
That's the thing. This is the week where they're actually going to announce what the stuff is going to be. For all we know, there could be hours of stuff there. I would hope not, because that could sound horrifying, but we'll see.
For us, because we would have to do news articles on it.
I like that you think I'm not going to do them anyways once I get pictures.
So sorry.
And then the July DigiGift wallpaper, Atmon.
I'm sure AR is very happy about this.
It looks really nice. I will say my favorite part of this, Gatchmon's face. He's just so fucking excited.
Yes, fire.
And then, man, we don't hear about Soul Chaser a lot, but like, oh, they've been like teasing season 4 for a bit. It's launching soonish. They put up some trailers. They really want to do the Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom vibe, don't they?
I mean, if it sells, it sells.
I mean, to be fair, it's going to be a mobile game, so. Gacha hell.
It's like, I forgot this still existed. I thought it had already been dead.
Well, remember, this started like 2015. Although, I think, if I remember correctly, and anyone who's played it can... Please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe season is a bit of a misnomer because I think that every season is just like they close the old one and then start the new one.
I'm not sure how the game plays, so I don't know enough.
Yeah, I believe that what it is each one is just, okay, they're starting the game over. And then this is the new version. The trailers look very nice. The one thing that has people interested that I've seen this time, though, is I don't believe there were original characters in the prior versions.
I assume it would just be like a generic player avatar.
I think in the prior versions it was mostly adventure characters. So we'll see. Well, I say we'll see, but we may not, just because I'm not going to cover it that much.
Hopefully we see if there's any new fun Digimon that someone rips the models of.
I don't remember Soul Chaser ever really being big on like the... This feels like the one that like just trucks along rather than like has stuff and then it kind of blows up. But we'll see. And then, Dev, it's a thin batch of cards this time. Are you ready?
Oh, thank fuck.
So first, so previews for Torrid Weiss, which is the newest limited card set, which you get in an event, you order online. So first up, we have Monitamon, Savior Hackmon, and Wanyamon, which all reprints, although they've given them color borders to help them stand out against the originals. We also get Garn.
I love that Wanyamon so much.
That is a good, solid card. What's weird is, does it remind you of that art that we just saw for the manga?
Yes.
Like, it feels like it could be from that. It's not, but like it's weirdly reminiscent of what we've seen for that. Then for new cards, Garnet Memory Boost and Wisteria Memory Boost. We're getting character duos. I like the art. It's just fun and cartoony.
I love the really bright colors for the Wisteria Memory Boost.
It does work nicely. Then, a reprint of Agumon, specifically the Saviors version, and Shine Greymon Ruin Mode is a parallel card with new art, which really good art also.
It looks utterly badass.
And it should, because the set is named after one of its main attacks, so it better look nice. Then we get reprints of Garamon, Dorugurumon, and Deltamon. Nothing super wild here, it's just the color borders. I will say, I actually like the color borders for that they've been using lately.
They very nice and distinct.
They stand out nice against the normal cards. Then we also get reprints for Solugurmon and Sabergermon.
Copy.
Then we get a reprint for Hisaryumon, and Imperial Drumon Dragon Mode gets some new art, and that's some really fucking good art.
I like how he's kind of like splitting the water by going zoom.
I want to say this is a parallel card of an English first card. Or a Japanese version of an English first card. I'm not 100% sure, though. But I like the art.
Me either. I have not been paying attention too much.
I want to say it showed up like at a... It was like a prize card at an event. So not something that we would have talked about a lot. We would have gone, ah, that seems nice, along with the five other prize cards. And then when the English version of Booster 17 was announced, they had said there was going to be some extra box toppers. And they're going to be movie-related. They are movie screenshot cards. So, first off, these are parallel cards of existing cards. Some from this set. So, first off, we get Jedi. That is a great shot to use for Jedi. Him from the movie in the little SD art.
Yes, that's cute.
Double Typhoon, which is the end screen card from Movie 3. Which... very strange art, and I really wish I knew the story behind it, because I think I've explained it to you before. It's by Yasuo Otsuka, who's one of like the most famous Japanese animators. Well, like, he taught Miyazaki, he taught Takahata. Like, I don't think we've ever gotten an explanation why he did one piece of art for Digimon. And also, not his specialty, which was mechanical stuff. We saw, like, drafts he did where he was drawing, like, them in cars chasing each other and stuff. And they're like, no, you can't just draw Lupin.
Why not?
But yeah, so it's just very odd. Like, one of the most famous animators and animation teachers of all time did, as far as we know, one piece of art for Digimon. And we don't know why. I assume someone just asked him. But it's still weird. Rika gets a card that's from the end of movie 6 when they're throwing her the party.
She is thrilled.
Yes. So Ancient Guardian Deity is an interesting one because it's a good shot to use. It feels very claustrophobic because, like, you want the art of both of them. But, like, it doesn't quite fit. You know, like, do you get what I mean? How it doesn't quite work well?
My brain is dead.
I believe your mic cut out, Dev.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Okay. I was saying that the art, the screen cap they use for the Ancient Guardian Deity card, great art, but it does not, like, frame well for a card.
They could have zoomed it out a little bit more.
I feel like that's why, like, this is one of the cards that they do the spruce holes on. Like, to try to do that framing. And then Awakening of the Sun for Savers is them going, well, we need to show both. We want both characters there. But also, that is not a good shot for card use, I don't think.
No, it's very vague and very red and very blurry.
Yeah. To be fair, as I recall, that's just a blurry, fuzzy-looking movie in general. Then they showed for the Bandai Card Game Fest, it's a Digimon Liberator promo card using that nice key art we got around when Liberator started. And I think they reformed the layout for it, I think.
Try to squish it down slightly more horizontal than vertical just to cram everyone in.
No, and it looks nice. And then Digimon Card Battle had a couple episodes where they went back to the room format, which I believe this is just to do smaller episodes when there isn't much to talk about. And then they announced a karaoke collaboration, but this time it's with Karaoke Manekineko, which is a big karaoke chain. July 18th through August 25th. Are you ready for the details, Dev? And did you look at any of these ahead of time? To be surprised or not.
I did.
Okay, so first off, I stopped counting the locations. I stopped when I hit about 50 or so. I decided...
I'm sure loves its karaoke.
Yeah. So then, the drinks. So these are 660 yen each. They're themed after songs, which, weirdly, have we had that for a karaoke collaboration where they go, it's going to be named after music?
No, it's always... been a character.
Yeah, so we get Butterfly, which is Rouge Berry Syrup and Orange Juice. I believe Rouge Berry Syrup is Red Raspberry Syrup, I think. I'm not familiar with... I tried searching for it, and it was inconclusive, but Red Raspberry is the closest I got.
That or it might be, like... Sometimes it might be a Lingonberry.
But would they have... I feel like that would have probably just been called Lingonberry. But then why wouldn't you call it Red Raspberry? Yeah, I don't know. I Wish is Blue Hawaiian Syrup and Ginger Ale. And Braveheart is Guava Syrup, Strawberry Syrup, and Carbonated Water. And there's a note on the page that any drink that uses carbonated water can be swapped out for water at request.
These actually look completely and utterly edible.
Yeah,
I am surprised.
So I was going to say, here's the weird thing. None of these are to my tastes. But none of them, like, I look at it and go, no. These are just, like, normal drinks.
I'd probably go for the I Wish one.
That's the one closest to me.
I am the sucker for ginger ale.
Oh, I like ginger ale, too. I'm just not sure I need ginger ale with other stuff added to it.
If you ever manage to find it in a store, it's a pain in the ass to, but the green tea ginger ale is really
fun. I've seen it. I didn't get it because it feels like when I think of that combination, my brain goes ginger ale with matcha powder mixed in.
It does not taste like matcha. It just tastes like regular like green tea.
If I see it, I will get it and try it since you've recommended it. I didn't get it because like literally in my head, I remember walking by it going ginger ale, matcha. No, because most of the time when you see them say like, oh, green tea flavors add to it, it's that liquid fake matcha flavoring.
Oh, yeah. Thankfully, no, this is just regular ass green tea. So it kind of comes off like an Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer.
See, that might be good. It's sort of like when you see like a coffee candy and it's always flavored with like this weird ratty coffee flavoring.
Yeah. It's like, very pleasant tea.
Okay. See, that might be interesting. And if I see it again, I will try that. But yeah, I think I Wish is the closest to me. I just don't know what flavor I would actually like in ginger ale. But these are all like normal. These aren't overthought out drinks that just kind of make us go, why is it white and milky?
It's like, why is there ground up sesame seeds in this? Why does it look so gritty?
You know, I don't mind when they add sesame seeds because I get it. It's the Gomamon theme. It's when they do it and it looks like weirdly gritty, like it's sand. And just,
yeah,
no.
It's like, just looks like something from a water treatment plant.
Yes. And one of 24 coasters at random with the art.
That's a lot of coasters.
I will say the art is fantastic for this.
It is very cute. I really like the keychains and the acrylic stands.
I do have a complaint with the art, though. Do you know what the complaint's going to be, Dev?
Proportions?
No, actually. Hikari and Tailmon are eating stuff that is not part of the collaboration. You think that would be like themed ice cream that they would have with it?
And they don't serve ice cream there?
I have no idea. But like, you think like, okay, if it's not ice cream, you think it would look like the drinks or something. And then for products, we get can badges, 16 at random. The acrylic stands are good. I know you said that, but like they just like the bottom marine theme for the stand.
They're very fun.
Yeah. Then the double charms, which this is like to attach to bottles, bags. They show an umbrella because it's like the rubber, like the pressure band, so you can attach it to different stuff.
Okay, yeah, I see. Okay, I see that one. If you attach all of them together, you can use it as a flail.
Def, don't give someone. We don't need to see convention footage of someone putting like 8 of them on the umbrella and then like swinging it around, like the scene from Kill Bill with the ball and chain.
Why not?
Then
we've lived through the era of yaoi paddles. Nothing can beat that.
The neck strap and the clear poster. You know, I think the neck strap's going to sell more than we think because people can wear you attach stuff at events.
Like IDs and stuff.
Yeah, like
badges.
Yeah, like that seems like something like, oh, you can get a Digimon-themed one, and it works at places. Then their little music campaign is more of a simple one, which is if you sing any of the 3 songs as part of the campaign, you randomly can get a device wallpaper. As far as I can tell, there's no extra cost, there's no extra effort involved. It's just if you do one of these songs and you reserve it with their app, you might get a device wallpaper. I don't know if I like that it's simple and basic or if that seems too simple and basic.
Yeah, that's because it's across such a huge amount of locations. This is just, here's a little extra thing tossed in.
We put up all the different versions of the art I could find, trying to find higher resolution versions of them. Found some decent ones, but nothing super high resolution like we sometimes find. Then the lookup figures of Piomon and Gomamon are prepared. Now that we have, like, good, proper images of them, do they look fucking amazing?
I love them. They're both so perfect.
They are, but I don't think it's hard to say that the winner is Gomamon.
Gomamon is always a winner.
Premium Bandai has their version with the cushions, like they've done before. I will say, the head pivot that Gomamon has is just perfect for Gomamon. Like, the image of him that they show with the Gabumon and Patamon, and they've turned the Gabumon head, it's just perfect. And normal pre-orders are also already up. It feels these should sell well, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, anytime I see them at conventions, like at the beginning of a convention, they're usually not there by the end of it.
Feels like these two are exceptionally good-looking ones also.
I really hope they continue this line. That would make me happy.
Same. I guess the natural next point would be O2 if they're going to continue them.
I mean, Vimon's gigantic head is also like
Vimon's,
the perfect the proportions.
There's a flaw with doing more. In my head, I'm trying to think how about Armadamon.
Probably similar to Gomamon, like how Gomamon's on all fours.
But for some reason, like, the proportions for Gomamon seem like they work better for that sort of toy. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying, like, in my head, the pieces don't come together as easily as some of these did.
Usually because, like, naturally, Armadimon has a smaller head-to-body ratio, where Gomamon is, like, half and half.
And then, Annabirth stuff. So, new products showing up. Actually, they're right now. And the Digimon Partner Shop will have them starting August 1st. So we have acrylic stands of the TV show branding. So, like, just the TV shows. And 2020 doesn't get one because it's covered by Normal Adventure. On top of that, there's also embroidered keychains, mugs, and t-shirts. Adventure gets 2 t-shirts. Then tote bags.
Kind of boring.
Boring, but also, like, this is the type of stuff people want.
And we have bad taste.
And then the metal keychains are finally there.
Hey.
And magnets showing off the key art for the TV shows, including 2020. The first try key, the first try poster art is there to represent try. We also get posters for Kizna and the beginning, and there's a mystery one. A lot of people have gone, oh, that means there's a new anime. Remember, these are supposed to be in stores now. They were delayed slightly.
I figured it'd just be like a chase, like sparkly version of one of the adventure ones.
Or it could be like the Tai Agumon key art. So,
oh, okay.
So these have been slightly delayed, but not due to a manufacturing error. It was funnier. Because, you know, I'm like, oh, it's delayed again. Which one's broken? I read the tweet. I'm like, oh, this is far more basic. It's just they have not arrived. They did not arrive yet. Like, just okay. A delay in shipping. So they'll be there soon enough. I still think the keychains look really fucking nice.
Does it say how big the magnets are?
I think it did on one of the pages. I thought it did somewhere. Maybe not, but we'll see. I know I've seen people posting... Wait, not those. They were posting the keychains. Yeah, I don't remember, honestly.
Oh, well, hopefully some references pop up. Then, so it's like, might be worth grabbing. Yeah.
And we saw these during the brand's 20... It was 27 for the stream, right? When the brand hit 27, they did that little product stream.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Crane Game pushes for Gabumon, Patamon, Tsunomon and Tokomon. These look fucking amazing. I will say this. You know which one I think really looks good? Tsunomon.
Tokomon?
Tokomon always looks great, though.
The babies are really good for this line.
Hopefully they do more, since this is the second wave. I will say, I always like the Gabumon ones. They always look solid, honestly.
He is a adorable, fat unicorn lizard dog.
And then... Every once in a while, they throw out, like, a weird surprise product line, and it's Kenji Watanabe did pieces of new adventure art, and they're doing t-shirts and tote bags. So the art is all amazing. It makes perfect sense for shirt and tote bag. I wish they would do prints.
Same.
Like, it's just so... The art's so fucking good for all four of these. I really want prints of them.
I'll see what I can do with Photoshop.
Which of the four pieces would you say is your favorite?
Honestly, the Gabumon.
I've watched it a few times. I weirdly like on the Omegamon one, like the old style cartoon text.
Also, the color combination, at least the way I'm looking at it, kind of hurts my eyes. So.
Yeah, the orange can be a little bright.
Yeah, it's a little much.
Yeah, so those are available to order now until August 4th. They ship in September. Then we have poll results for the main character adult level. Arrested Dramon won with 17%. Then, honestly, the worst result for Dogachimon.
Yeah, because he's there.
Battle had a better showing than I expected. Honestly,
figured be. Second to last.
And Geo Greymon tried.
Better than I thought.
Now, the new poll is a fun one, because a lot of people have never actually seen these. These are the collaboration V-Pets, done for special events and stuff.
I remember seeing a couple of these when they initially came out. I was like, ooh, I want that, but also, ouch, importing that was very expensive.
Oh, there's the Jal and Jump ones. Then the mini got Jump and Uniqlo ones, and the twin got Famitsu and Jump mini ones. So if you had to pick one of these, which do you think looks the nicest?
The blue and red twin.
That one looks solid.
It looks like candy, I want to eat it. But also, like, the clear Uniqlo one is pretty classy.
It is. I would... The sort of green middle part makes me go a little into it, though.
Yeah, the other minis look like, ones that we already had for the...
The least exciting are the Jal ones.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, there's colors.
Like, for the Jal ones, I don't... The Jal ones, it feels like there must be something special in the programming. Because I don't remember the Jal ones, but looking at them, it's like, eh... there's nothing really there visually.
Yeah, I remember the bright colored twin. It's like, ooh, I remember wanting that so much. Unfortunately, the twin is one of those V pets that poops non fucking stop.
And then we talked about it a bit, the Erlangmon blast mode added to the reference book. Solid art. Then we had Liberator art from Usagi Bochi when they put up the column, which is little SD art of Arisa. That's solid fucking art.
It really gives off her personality.
And also that Shoto doesn't have money. I probably because she's running around shopping, I assume, is what it's supposed to be saying.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Her city center jewel.
Yeah, then we get the July key art, the July art, which I think we discussed a bit last time, which them playing with other Bandai toys. Then Atmon, the Atmon reference book update, had another update, which everything has English now.
Oh, yay.
Just a nice update.
See what terrible spellings come from that.
It's hard to not just want to scroll through and just look at everything. So far the thing people are most interested in is the one typo that everyone seems to notice.
Thankfully, I haven't looked yet.
Yeah, I'll leave that to Dev to discover on her own.
Oh no.
Then Annabirth posted photos of some of the products that were being added to the store. Really good products of some of them. Like some of these actually, like the keychains are shown off really well on these.
Trying to eat all my money. Already broke.
Then museum shots where they shut off like summer t-shirts from various shows, including Digimon, and also their little promotional postcard thing they give out, which this time has the exhibition on one side. Director Kakado was showing off a mouse pad that he was sent by. Because do you remember how he helped do the verification for the Guinness stuff?
Coming to mind.
The person who had the biggest Digimon collection. Kakado did some of the verification for it. Like, oh, this is real stuff, blah, blah, blah. That person sent him a big Digimon mouse pad from Taiwan. And Kakado was like, oh, you know, nice art. He showed it. That at first, he thought it was a card mat. Although it was so slick, he was a bit confused until he went and checked the box and realized, oh, it's like a mouse, like an eSports mouse pad. He doesn't have experience in it, but he finds it interesting.
Huh.
I want to say this was from lottery thing. I feel like we saw this at some point, but I don't know for sure. The Naoki Akamini showed off their process drawings like they do for the Koshiro and Joe ones. Don't have a ton to say for these, but they look amazing like they always do. Poor Joe, he's about to get hit by a blue shell.
That's what he gets for being in first.
And then Tomo01 posted some art with another chapter of Liberator going up. So first one they did was just showing up, just like a nice art image of Violet. And the second one's funny because they explained why they did this. They saw someone on social media make a joke about in boots. And they went, oh, I'm fucking drawing that. So it's a little SD Violet in a boot, like making a what you gonna do about it face.
Oh, and it's also fitting because she wants to steal Shumon.
Yes, I assume that was part of the joke, but yeah. It, the face, like the... Here's the thing. It's not as mean as the what are you going to do about it, like I said, but it feels like that's what we're supposed to take from it.
And if I cannot take Shumon, I will become Shumon.
And then Usagi Bochi put up an image, drawing of Violet also, and then later put up an unfinished line art version. There was like a day and a half where just everyone involved with Liberator and just random Digimon artist fans were turboing out Violet art for like a day and a half.
I will have to go and look through everything on the interwebs for that.
Okay, then for everyone in chat, time for questions. The first one was sent to us by Diego, who mentioned... Well, first I should mention, Diego said he didn't know if we cared. He sent an update on World Trigger. I gather World Trigger is not going well for World Trigger fans. Based on the way he put it, like, it's less regular than it used to be, and I guess it's in the middle of, like, oh, the characters are just studying for 30 days now, and after 5 years, it's only, like, 4 days into it. Or something like that.
They're powering out the spirit bomb.
So, It's Diego's favorite manga, so I gather he's like rolling on the ground, holding his head like, no, something happened. So his question was that we mentioned last time the card game in Tamers was basically a toy commercial, and at the time he didn't realize that until years later. He was wondering, what is a toy commercial that we didn't realize was one until later? His example was that he knew Transformers was a toy commercial, but didn't occur to him until later that characters being killed in the movie were because they just weren't going to sell those toys anymore.
Oh, I remember that. Huh. It's hard to say. I just kind of assume that every kid show is a toy commercial.
Yeah, see, it's weird because there is a point when you're just little, so even if it's a toy commercial, it does not track as a toy commercial. It's just, this is a show, and there are toys. I'm trying to think, like, is there an actual good example I can think of? See, I guess something like Voltron, where, like, the show is the show, and, oh, yeah, the only reason that, like, it's not the only reason it existed, but it existed to sell merchandise.
Hard to say, because, like, sometimes it's, like, what came first, the toys or the show, and what was kind of, like, available near you,
yeah.
Because... I mean, I didn't have a Toys R Us anywhere near me. There was, like, something called, like, Family Toy Warehouse, where, yeah, you're lucky if there's any toys of characters. So, she's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't tell if it's a toy commercial if you don't see any toys on the shelves.
See, for me, the first example would probably be Transformers, because by the time I saw it, you know, I would have been 4 or 5, whatever. The movie was already out for a bit. So... toys on shelves would have been those characters anyways, as they brought them back for toys. So it wouldn't have been anything where it's like, oh, they killed them for that. It's just, okay, of course I want an Optimus Prime and a Bumblebee and a Grimlock. And why is the only Bumblebee toy come with a human shell? And then it's years until you can figure out, oh, that wasn't the original Bumblebee. That was just the toy line at the time was doing that.
Yeah.
Then someone asked, if we could have a tray of any candies for snacking during a movie, what would they be?
Vanilla fudge from the Fudge Kitchen.
Oh, I didn't even consider, like... See, I was thinking all, like, packaged candies.
Oh, no. Usually, like, I'm watching movies and stuff at home, so I'll, like... pick whatever I want.
Well, see,
like, or sometimes just make baked goods.
Okay, so Dev, you remember how I said when I was like much younger, I used to work in a movie theater?
Yes.
There was a candy shop next door. So if I saw a movie, 100% bringing in candy. But yeah, God, see, I was mostly thinking of stuff like snow caps. But yeah, just going and getting some nice chocolate.
For like warm, soft, baked things. It's kind of like my movie go-to.
Baked cookies are always a solid choice. I'm just trying to think, like, what else? Yeah, basically any candy I like, I would happily take during a movie, honestly. Okay, this one's good. This one's going to make you cry, Dev. What is a high-end Digimon collectible you would pay an unreasonable amount of money for if it was made?
I thought about this, and then I realized, do you remember... years ago when they made that real-life Belzebumon coat?
Yeah.
That? But if they made something for Lilithmon, I would be like, fuck it, take my money.
That's an interesting one. I wouldn't have thought of Lilithmon for it. What's funny is like, when I was thinking about some of these questions last night, it's not Digimon, but I'm going to show you, Dev. In fact, I think I might have linked you to this last night when I saw, like, oh, this weird expensive thing.
It's like, yes, the giant,
so
huge TMNT figure.
So a company made, there's the old Ninja Turtle poster with them holding up the
manhole cover.
My brain froze in the word manhole. Yeah, from the first movie. So they made a giant 3D version of it. It's 41 inches in diameter. It's like a foot and a half tall.
It's life size.
Yes, it is life size. It is $2,500. Now, here's the thing. It's super nice. I get the price. It's not something I buy. It's one of those things in my head I went, if someone were to buy this, where do you put this? Because it's not like a wall peace fart.
No, this is a, you have a spot for this on the floor of your massive
mansion. And that's what I mean. Like, I don't, but like, if you put it on the floor, you don't get to like enjoy the detailing. You almost have to have like a dedicated table or display for it.
I have an idea. Kind of like one of those poker tables, like those really big round ones, but have that kind of like inset in the middle.
Oh, that'd be neat. But yeah, it is so expensive that Big Bad Toy Store does a non-refundable deposit. Because like they're not going to put in a special order for this thing and then have someone go, change their mind later. If you order it, there's a non-refundable $375 deposit.
Like, don't you dare pussy out on us.
Basically, yes. Nearly last call for questions for chat. Someone said, can HDR be bad? Now, Dev, you've never seen HDR, right?
Nope. I watch it on cheap TVs.
Do you think HDR can be bad? Before I say anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Fuck just about anything up.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of like movies that had just because you can have HDR that doesn't do much of anything, but then you don't really think, oh, it's bad, it just doesn't do anything. I started watching a terrible movie a few years ago. Do you remember they did I think they called it Watson and Holmes. It was John C. Reilly and I can't remember his name. SNL guy played Trebek.
I know who you're talking about.
My brain froze on his name.
His name is now SNL guy.
Will Ferrell. They did it was called like Watson and Holmes or something. Terrible movie. I stopped watching it a bit just because it was that bad. The HDR was so overdone that random candles were like shining. And I just went, oh, this is horrible. But the best example of bad HDR is not actually a movie. So, Dev, have you ever ran into when you're like, okay, I have some time, I'm just going to sit here, and I'm going to flip through stupid videos on Facebook or wherever. Facebook does not, if you look at like the little short videos people upload, if they're recorded in HDR, they do not tone map them to regular. So you get the horrible HDR off people's phone cameras, and they don't have a way to disable it. So if I see the screen start to bright, I just go pass. Because like it'll be people like white countertops, and they've recorded an HDR, and just I do not need like shining countertops at 2 a.m. while I'm just flipping through. Yeah, while I'm just flipping through stupid videos before going to sleep.
See, this is why I have like a warm color filter on my screen.
No, I do that also, but the HDR tries to brighten the screen for the HDR. It overrides the filter.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. So it still has the correct color filtering, it just tries to brighten because the videos are actually brighter than it would normally be.
Yeah, I don't need to get flash bombed.
Yeah, and then someone said, we've talked about how we think Bandai and Toei actually managed Digimon mostly fine. It's more expectations being a bit out of whack. Did we talk about this last time, actually?
Feel like it, especially yeah. Because people were like throwing a tantrum that...
In fact, it was that anniversary stream thing, wasn't it? Oh, no, it was the Anime Expo.
I thought it was something else, where it's like some sort of Bandai stream where they expected Digimon when no Digimon...
It was the
going to be announced to begin with.
It was the game stream from Anime Expo.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Then they said, are there any companies you think have valuable brands that you think are mismanaging them or doing them well? So I actually have good examples of both that I think me and Dev have coincidentally talked about recently. Not necessarily on the show, just in general. So mismanaging, I think the best current example is Power Rangers. Hasbro has no idea what to do with Power Rangers. All their weird plans for Power Rangers fell apart, so there is no
random-ass fucking toys.
There's no show and no toys right now. At all.
Oh, okay. Because I keep seeing them like pop up at my local Target, and she's like, why do they have like random Zeos bit here?
Okay, are you ready for how little they know what to do? Hasbro has licensed out making Power Ranger toys next year to Playmates. Hasbro owns the brand and is not going to be making Power Ranger toys.
They're a fucking toy making company. That's what they do.
Yes. Yeah. So the toys you're probably seeing are probably leftovers of the Lightning collection. That was Hasbro's like big primary Power Ranger toy line until they just stopped doing it. But like they stopped doing it because people stopped buying it because the quality control was terrible. You get figures with the wrong arms.
They just look kind of like, they look like army men, honestly.
Yeah. But yeah, so there are still some basic toys coming up. But yes, starting next year, Playmates will be making them under license from Hasbro. So, like, there is no show being made right now. In the entire history of Power Rangers, do you know how long there was a period where there was not a show being made?
6 months or so?
There was 1 year, and even still, they did like 30-something.
Oh, there's always some sort of fucking power.
No, because here's the thing. The 1 year there was not a show, they took 32 episodes of the original show and added new effects and everything, and like aired it as like a Power Ranger remastered or remix or whatever, with like a new logo, new toys. So technically speaking, it was all like you can still watch those remixed episodes. So there was always something. This is the first time that there's not. And I should note, they've only owned them for like 4 or 5 years.
How do you fuck it up that bad? Oh, wait, never mind. It's Hasbro.
Yes. And then, ironically, doing them well actually involves something that, one, involves Playmates, and two, we were talking about just a minute ago. I think Paramount, there's been some up and down. They've been good stewards for the Ninja Turtle brand. This is
seen some very badass looking toys.
No, and that's the thing. So it is the 40th anniversary of the Ninja Turtle. Paramount has owned them for 15 years. Playmates still makes toys and still makes affordable toys. Like, here's the thing. If you want to buy an action figure for a kid, Dev, you're going to be spending $15, $20, $30 for a action figure. Do you know how much a basic action figure of one of the Ninja Turtles from the most recent movie is?
I've seen them like $10.
Not maybe. When it's not on sale, the MSRP for the basic ones are $9. And that like is a turtle with accessories and articulation.
I've also seen a lot of really fun like role play toys, like with the masks.
Yes,
and
they do a lot. I noticed this right around when I got the question. I realized this year there are 3 Ninja Turtle games coming out, all affordable. So they did a home port of the 2017 arcade game for $30. They're doing a game like Hades, which will be, I think, also $30. And then they're doing a beat 'em up based on the most recent movie for $40.
Sounds really good.
And a new cartoon starts in a month based on the most recent movie.
I saw the trailer for that. A lot of my friends were freaking out about it. It looks very fun.
Yeah. Or like just a week or two ago, they did a 40th anniversary comic collection, which was new stories and art from various people who worked on Ninja Turtle over the years. So like Eastman and Lard did art for a story that looked like the original Ninja Turtles. One of the covers was from the guy who designed the turtles for the 2003 cartoon. So, like, just, like, it was, like, a 90-page collection. Each of them had, like, 8 or 9 pages to do whatever they wanted, using their version of the Turtles. And it's like they're working on a sequel to the movie. I think they're working on a live-action movie also. I want to say with, like, Colin Jost writing it, I read. But like,
I'm just imagining it being, like, the original one.
That's the problem, is it always has to live up to that movie.
They can try. I want them to try.
But yeah, it's just like, it's weird, like, thinking about, like, the Dire Straits Power Rangers are in, or, like, when is the last time you saw them do anything with, I don't know, the Flintstones, or brands that, like, felt like they were going to be around forever. And somehow Ninja Turtles has just kept on trucking. So yeah, Ninja Turtles, I think, has I think Ninja Turtles has been done really well, honestly. So yeah, that's one that I'm... Oh, they were doing fancy toys of the 2003 Turtles. They never do anything with the 2003 Turtles.
That I did not pay attention to.
So I printed those because those were being made by like Super 7, which does specialty like medium end figures. If you pre-ordered all 4 of them direct from Super 7, do you know what the pre-order bonus was?
They give you a Shredder or something?
No. You get additional heads for each turtle based on the faces they make in the intro to the 2003 cartoon.
Oh, that's Fun.
But yeah, like, it's just really nice looking figures. Yeah, I just was like, oh, I'm getting all of them. All.
I was going to say, did you buy them all?
Oh, I got the set. One sec. I'll link you and I'll link the chat since someone's freaking out when they realize that they came out. But like, these are like higher end figures. The price isn't too bad. It's like, oh, if you get the set, and in chat, we only know about the four turtles for this line. There's no news about anything else from 2003 at the moment. I would assume that if these sell, they would do more, though. But yes, these are like really nice figures. They each come with an alternate head, and you get a third head if you buy them in a set, with the heads all being from that intro. But like, it uses the packaging style from the 2003 cartoon. The turtles all look right. It's just really nice. So I'm just happy how the, like, all the turtles, every version, are appearing somewhere.
You will need a new house to put all of your turtle merchandise.
We'll see. I believe that is about it. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Jumbo Gamimon.
That's a good one. I can be found with the will as always. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will catch you in a few weeks, which is right before the August 1st stuff. So that is a rare time when we that is a rare time when we may do an episode after a week. We will see what news, because here's the thing. We have a show on the 29th, and then 2 days later will be when stuff gets announced. If there's enough stuff, then we may pop up on the 5th.
Yeah, to let some of the steam out a bit.
See, because we don't know what they're going to announce. They may announce nothing. They may announce toys, but we'll see. Kirito, since he's coming to chat, I really do hope these do well and you can get your Shredder. Although you may want to check like Target and Walmart online, because a few of the original 2003 toys have been re-released recently. So there might not be something new, but there may be a re-release of that original toy. So maybe worth checking. We will catch you guys later. Thank you everyone for showing up. Bye.